Well, amen. It's good to have Preacher Alfred Willis tonight with us, the pastor from Life Baptist Church in St. Stephen's. He's been preaching here for a long time. I don't know how long for sure, but it's our honor to have him. Preacher, you come on and mind the Lord, and I hope you'll give him your undivided attention tonight.
Thank you. So praise the Lord.
Stomped down Willis.
Oh, Lord. Stomped on Willis. God bless you, preacher. Good, praise God. Joy to be here. It's always a blessing to be able to come to Welcome Baptist Church. I mean that from the depths of my heart. And thank you all for being so good to us. Amen. It's a joy to be back in church tonight. Appreciate it. Didn't get to get but into the service this evening. I apologize for that. I preached against that for 40 years. Amen. About showing up to preach when they don't hear no preaching. But really, I couldn't come. But I got in this afternoon. If I'd have got any more than what I got this afternoon, I couldn't have stood it. Amen. So I was tremendous this afternoon. Thank you so much, preacher. A great, great preaching, Brother Buster. Thank you for that. Amen. And it's a joy. I had a lot of things on my mind to say. I want to thank Mark Lane for driving me up today. My wife is home. We got a little meeting at our church this weekend. Matter of fact, Brother Jarvis will be preaching for us this weekend. And so we're trying to get some things ready for the meeting. So normally she's with me and she didn't get to come, but I do appreciate Mark Lane driving me up. Amen. That's my grandson on my daughter's side. Amen. And so we appreciate Mark Lane driving me up. We will get home a lot faster tonight because he's driving. No doubt about that. Amen. So thank y'all so much. Amen. Pastor, I do thank you again for letting us come. It's a joy. See God's people together with God's people. And I guess with what's happened over the last year, we haven't been able to assemble like we normally do. So this is a refreshing to be able to get to do this again this year. Amen. Thank you so much. And then the Rains were singing. Amen. And all of you that sang, but the Rains were singing. We go back so many years, camp meeting over at Pleasant View. Amen. This family will never know the inspiration they've been to me in my life. Amen. In my ministry, our ministry there in St. Stephen. And just old time camp meeting. When I got saved, I didn't get saved in an environment like this. Y'all have heard that so many times. I did not get saved in an environment like this. And so I didn't know you had good singing in Christian music. I thought it was all dead and dry. And, you know, I just, that's what I thought. And then I got to go into a gospel singing. Amen. And I found out Christians can sing too. And they have lively music. Amen. And sure enough, at that gospel singing, I got saved. And some people don't think I'm saved because I got saved at a gospel singing, but I really am. Amen. And matter of fact, the man who wrote The Lighthouse, the song The Lighthouse, when I got to the altar that night, he led me to the Lord. And so I got saved at a gospel singing. And I know I don't promote that, amen, but you don't put God in a box. If they'd have told me, my wife would have told me we're going to a preaching service tonight, I wouldn't have went. But she said, we're going to a singing service. So I said, well, I'll check that out. I love James Brown. I feel good. Amen. And Aretha Franklin, our soul man, be a soul man, or whatever she sang. Amen. But Chuck Berry, up in the morning and out to school, the teacher is teaching the golden rule. Amen. That was kind of my thing. I just like singing. Then I got to going to the church I went to. It was so dead, I about turned against singing. Amen. And then I found out the camp meeting singing. And I've said this a lot of times. I can't explain what camp meeting singing is. I just know it when I hear it. And I just got hooked on old time camp meeting singing. Amen. And it just does something for me. And so the Rains family camp meeting over at Pleasant View. And then Brother Dwight Banks, I got to go preach up there and be around them. And so all that has put this in my life. I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for them. Amen. I mean, I'd be saved. Amen. But I wouldn't be in this kind of environment. So thank God for this kind of environment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, when I announce my text tonight, about half of you preachers will get up and leave. Amen. Because you're not going to believe I'm preaching this in this service. And I'm really questioning myself, am I preaching this in this service? Because it's really not it's a message that you preach in a service like this. So I want you to turn to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, if you turn there tonight. So don't leave, amen. I know you've heard it many times, preached it many times. Matter of fact, I read where George Whitefield, this is what I read. George Whitefield, they said, preached on this subject 1,000 times. Tonight will be my 98th time. If my records are right, I preached my 98th time on this subject tonight. Amen. And so I'm motivated. Amen. I'm motivated to preach on this. Amen. You heard about the two guys, I know you heard it, you probably told it, I probably got it from one of y'all, but you heard about the fella who was kind of drunk, staggering through the cemetery one night, and they had already dug the grave the next day, and the guy staggering through the cemetery fell in the grave. And so he was in the grave, and it was kind of wet, and he tried to get out the grave. And so he tried, and he'd slide back down. He said, well, I ain't going to get out of this grave. I'm going to have to wait in the morning for somebody to come get me. So he got up over there in the corner. He's propped up in the corner. And another old drunk come wandering through, and he fell in the same grave. And so he tried to get out. He slid down. And the fellow in the corner woke up. He said, you can't get out. He did. You can get motivated by the most unlikely people. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So John chapter 3, and I know we've done stood, but let's stand in John chapter number 3. We'll read this familiar text, amen. John chapter number 3, amen. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. And I'll be a little bit honest with you tonight. Now, y'all don't need to know this, but I'm preaching on this because I preached in our church on Sunday all day long about the sower, the seed, and the soul. And it's the parable of the sower and the seed, they say. But really, it's the parable of the soul. Because the seed was good, the soil was good, it was the soil that had the problem. Yeah. And so I preached on that all day Sunday, amen. And I found this to be true. Only 1/4 of those people that got the seed really got saved. Amen. 75% of the sowing fell on ground that was not productive. Amen. Now, I know some take that third seed there. I think that's the stony ground. I'm not sure right now. I think that's the stony ground. There's the wayside, the stony ground. And I preached on those two. Amen. But on that third ground, matter of fact, it's over in Matthew chapter number 13. Amen. I'm not preaching too messy. I'm just trying to tell you where I'm headed. Okay. Matthew chapter 13. The Bible said it was over there in the parable of the soul. There was the wayside, the stony ground, and there was the among thorns. And some had preached over there among thorns that it got choked. The seed got choked. And I heard a preacher one time preach on this, choking Christians. And I understand what he was saying. But according to what I studied, that man wasn't a Christian. I don't think nobody got saved in that context, but the man with the good ground. Right. Amen and amen. Right. And so my point is simply this, amen. And after I got through preaching, a layman in my church come up to me, and I appreciate this. He said, preacher, could I show you something in that text? And I know y'all not interested in this, but I thought it was good. He said in verse 4 of chapter 13, it fell by the wayside. It fell upon the stony ground. It fell among the thorns. But the Bible said in verse 8, it fell into the good ground. Yeah. Amen. And I said, brother, if you don't mind, I'm going to use that tonight. Amen. Because I was preaching that night too, and he gave me that Sunday morning. And I said, God gave it to me. And he did through one of our members. The only place it says it went into was the last ground. Wasn't that tremendous? Isn't it good to have people like that in your church? Yeah. And so I don't believe nobody was saved in that but the good ground hearers, personally. Amen. I know you preachers know more about that than I do. But the truth of the matter is, I don't really understand all why I'd be preaching on ye must be born again tonight. It's a subject in a meeting like this that I would think you wouldn't be preaching on, personally. But yet the Lord led me to preach on it. Matter of fact, truth of the matter is, when you die, ought not be no doubt about whether you're born again. We're still arguing over whether Saul was saved. Yeah. Is anybody listening? I don't normally start like this. We're still debating. Matter of fact, I was reading in Samuel this morning, and I got the first Samuel, I got the second Samuel, and they're still debating on whether Saul was saved. And good theologians make an argument, was he saved, wasn't he saved? I'll tell you what John Phillips said he wasn't. I tell you what Mr. Butler seems to think. He thinks he wasn't saved. Some of y'all preachers have probably preached him saved. Some of us preachers have probably preached him lost. But here's my point. Shouldn't be arguing about it. That's right. He ought to have a testimony so clear that we wouldn't be debating it. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. And so let me just preach on this simple subject tonight. I won't keep you long, I promise. Amen. So let's preach on this simple subject tonight. In verse number seven, let's read the text. In verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles thou do, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Said he can't see it, can't perceive it. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, I think that's physical and spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So y'all pray for me as I try. Simple, not a lot of content, but a whole lot of intent. Amen. Let's pray. Father, please help me tonight, I pray. Touch hearts, work in lives. Lord, I preach long enough to know you never know who's in this building that may not be saved. And God, I preached long enough to know that in the church I pastor, I preached long enough to know that even people that look like and you think may be saved, Lord, come later to get saved. So help us tonight. My intent is not to make anybody doubt, but to clear up all doubts. That's my intent. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. You must be born again. I don't know anything that expresses a new beginning like a birth. A birth is a new beginning. Amen. In other words, in a birth, you don't have a past. But when you come into the world and you got birthed into the world, you have no past. As a matter of fact, if you could live the rest of your life tonight and never sin again, you'd have to do something about your past. And what takes care of your past is having a birth. Because a birth has no past. I've never seen the sheriff's department down in the maternity ward arresting a baby just born.
Yeah, that's right.
Why are you arresting that baby? Because of what he did. He didn't do nothing. He just got here. So my point is simply, hey, a birth expresses no past and a new beginning. And when we got born into the family of God, God did away with our past. I don't care if you got saved when you're 50 or 60. When you got born again, you have no past. Amen. And you have a new beginning. Amen. And the Bible admonishes us in 2 Chronicles 13 to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, no matter how long you've been saved. To examine yourself whether we're in the faith. I remember one night Ronnie Simpson was holding revival for us. And again, I want you to think I'm not preaching to doubt. But I remember Ronnie Simpson was preaching revival for us. And I remember one of the godliest ladies in our church went forward. She's been a Sunday school teacher for years. And he went forward and she said, Preacher, I need to get saved. Well, I didn't really deal with her so much at that time about whether she was confused. But she took her in the prayer room. She got saved. So later that week, I went to her and I said, Sister Debbie, I said, I think you just got caught up in the emotion of it. I think you got caught up in the motion of meeting and started down. And here's what she said. She said, No, preacher. She said, I knew I wasn't saved. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I'm simply saying to us, hey, it does not surprise me. Well, it does, but then it don't. Of people to get saved that already say they're saved.
Yeah.
So my point is simply this, amen. It does not hurt to examine yourself whether you are really saved. Amen and amen. So it all begins here. The Christian life all begins with the birth. Matter of fact, it seems like this man come to Jesus, Nicodemus come to Jesus, and give him a compliment. He said, We know you're a teacher come from God. No man can do the works you do. It seemed like a compliment. And you know what Jesus said to him? Thank you, thank you. Thank you for that compliment. He said, so he gave him that, he gave him what looked like a compliment. He said, unless you're born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. I mean, I'm just simply trying to say, Jesus was very serious with a man that seemed like, I tell you, if I preached a good message, somebody coming to me said, man, that was a great message. I'd walk away saying, thank you, thank you. I probably wouldn't ask you. Well, forget that part. Here's my point. Have you been born again? The necessity of the new birth, amen. Being born again. Notice this, in salvation there's different aspects, such as, and I know this is elementary, this is elementary. So in salvation there's different aspects of salvation. There's redemption. The Bible said what? The Bible said, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. So we are redeemed. There's justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is reconciliation, all things of God, and we are reconciled to Him by the death of His Son. There's reconciliation, there's redemption, there's justification, there's salvation. Whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Amen. And then there's regeneration. That deals with the subject of being born again. We have been regened. Amen. Some persuasions say you have nothing to do with birth. In other words, when God brings you into the family of God, you have nothing to do with that. And I understand that. But at the same time, I did have to believe it. And I did have to receive it. Matter of fact, I heard one of those fellows say this with my own ears one time. He said, God brought me in at such a young age that I don't remember when it happened. I don't want to have a salvation I didn't know that didn't happen.
Amen.
Amen. If you can get it, not know it, you can lose it, not miss it. Somebody help me. My point is simply this. The Bible said, but he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So you got to receive it. You got to believe it. They seem to teach that. You get it, then you believe it. I'm telling you what I studied now. They seem to imply that you get it, God brings you in with nothing, you doing nothing, and then after you get in, you believe it. I don't believe a word of that. Now, I know I got a Cottageville High School graduating mind. Is anybody listening? I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I'm refuting Calvinism. Hey, I had to believe it and I had to receive it. Amen and amen. I was there when I got it. I guess I ought to know. Somebody help me. So let me get into my message real quick. Who is it for? Who are the recipients of being born again? Amen. When people, here's the terminology. Well, them's born again Christians. I never heard anybody say, well, that's redeemed Christians. I never heard anybody say, well, they're reconciled Christians. I never heard anybody say, well, man, that crowd over there, they're justified Christians. No, here's what they say. They said, that's that born again crowd. In other words, here's what we're saying. Here's what we're saying. Oh, that's a born again Christian. Here's what we're saying. We're saying he got something more than a regular believer God. Y'all stay with me. Now, I really am headed somewhere. Here's what we say. A 10-year-old gets saved, and we say, he got saved. But a drug addict gets saved. We say, oh, he got born again. Well, could I say if a 10-year-old got saved, he's just as saved as a born again Christian? Here's what we say. Oh, he really got saved. No, he probably did really get saved, but he ain't no saved than a saved. We play it up. Oh, that's that born again crowd over there. They're really saved. But we ain't no more saved than the saved. That's all I'm trying to say. My point is, but we don't have them saying, oh, them's redeemed Christians over there. Or them, that crowd over there, that's that crowd that's really justified. But you hear the terminology, born again. You know where that started in the political realm with Jimmy Carter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. And then it got on to Charles Colson. Amen. With the prison ministry. And I agree those politicians needed to be born again. I'm not sure they got it, but they needed it. Then he come even with the Black Panthers and Eldridge Cleaver. I remember those days when Eldridge Cleaver claimed to have got born again. But it didn't work. It wasn't good ground. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Now here's what I'm headed somewhere to say something. Most people acquaint born again with emotionalism. In other words, over there, don't go over there to Welcome Baptist Church. That's that born-again crowd. They even shout over there, and they lift their hands. I don't know what they're doing, lifting their hands and praising the Lord. That's that born-again crowd over there, Welcome Baptist. You know why? Because you're a little bit emotional. So what they're saying, you got something more than just being a Christian. You got that born-again Christianity. I really am serious about this. Amen. Or they say that crowd has got broken lives. They need that born again type salvation. They need, hey, they're broken lives, they're drugs, they're drug addicts, they're drunkards, they're thieves, they're robbers, they're crooks. They need something more than just getting saved. They need that born again salvation. Oh, are you listening to me? Or they're acquainted that with conservative people. That crowd over there, that conservative crowd, they don't believe in doing nothing. And they believe if it moves, you ought to pay, and if it don't move, salute it. That crowd over there, they're so conservative, they're against everything. And so they acquaint us with being born again. And then they acquaint that with lower class. Now I'm saying all that to say something. Y'all help me, amen. They acquaint that with lower class people or people of maybe of less fortune than those that have money and prestige and popularity. They acquaint us with the lower class. Now why did you say all that, preacher? I said that to say this. This text refutes every bit of that.
Amen.
What are you saying? It said Nicodemus needed to be born again.
Right.
Do you know who Nicodemus was? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was religious. Here's what I read now. Here's what I read. He was a Pharisee, 613 rules. He had to memorize the Pentateuch. This man in his position had to memorize the Pentateuch. How would you like to know that? You don't do that in unemotion, especially when you get to Leviticus. That's the last book I read in the Bible every year. Anybody listening? I ain't real happy about Deuteronomy, to be honest with you. My point, I'm making a point. I ain't trying to make you laugh. I'm trying to tell you, hey, Nicodemus refutes all of that. He was what? He was as moral as they come.
Right.
He wasn't down and outer. He wasn't a down and outer. He wasn't a drunkard. He wasn't a thief. He was a religious man.
Right.
Do you know why George Whitefield preached 1,000 times? If that's true, you know why he preached that? Because the church was filling up with unregenerated people. And George Whitefield started preaching on, you must be born. And they asked him, why do you keep preaching that subject? He said, because you must be born again. Could I tell you, I come out of a Baptist church. Hey, I come out of a Baptist church when I got saved. They did not even know what happened. I tried to tell them I got saved. They acted like they heard, but they patted me on the back and said, oh, you got baptized when you was a young boy. I said, yeah, but I didn't get what I got. They said, oh, you'll be all right. Do you know they never baptized me? Do you know the pastor never baptized me? Do you know I had to leave there? I found an independent Baptist church. I told the preacher I got saved. I'd been in that dead church for a year. I said, they never baptized me. He said, we'll take care of that next Sunday. I said, amen, one day in church. And I'm telling you, the preacher knocked on my door. He said, we can't have no more of that. I joined that independent Baptist church. I said, amen. He said, hallelujah, to get one of them. I'm telling you the truth. My point is, this man refutes everything I just quoted to you. He's of the strictest of the saints. He's a Pharisee. He's a separated man. I was preaching one time in a church in Kentucky. In the church, he had Mennonites in his church that had gotten saved and come out of that so-called religion and got in his independent Baptist church. He said, preacher, I can preach separation. They're more separated in a false teaching than my people are in Bible preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody listening?
Yeah.
I said, you talking about the Midianites? He said, oh God, don't say that. He said, call them Mennonites. Don't call them Midianites. Here's what I read. They had a 2-hour day prayer meeting. Here's something else I read. They fasted 2 days a week. Are you listening to me? They tithe. I'm talking about Nicodemus. What? They memorized the Pentateuch. They prayed 2 hours a day. They fasted 2 days a week. They tithe. My Lord, I'd like to have a church full of Pharisees. Is anybody listening? Y'all know better than that. Not really. Isn't it amazing what false religion does? Amen. Hey, more than we do.
Amen.
Amen and amen. You don't have to teach them to dress right. Did you? I heard about the little girl in the grocery store. Got lost in the grocery store. And she was crying, "Mama, mama, mama." And finally, they tracked down her mama, and they got her mama, and they got the little girl and the mama back together. And they asked the little girl, they said, "Why didn't you hold on to your mama's skirt tail?" She said, "I couldn't reach him." Somebody help me. Is anybody listening? I had a man tell me this one time. He said about young people getting saved. I was talking about a 10-year-old get saved. And we said, "Well, he got saved. A drunk get saved." We said, "Man, they really got saved." And here's what a man told me one time. He said, "I don't think a 5-year-old can get saved." And I went back to the church and I was preaching. And I said, I had a man tell me he didn't think a 5-year-old could get saved. Now, we're in a little small country church, about 100, 110 on Sunday morning. If the sun's shining, the birds are singing, the grass is green, 120.
Amen.
And no COVID in the air, somebody hitting. And so I said, a man told me you couldn't get saved when you was 5. And I'm telling you, Brother Tony, I had 6, I think it was 6, young people jumped up and said, "I got saved when I was 5. I got saved when I was 6. I got saved when I was 6. I got saved when I was 5. I got saved when I was 5. I tell you, I think you get saved when you're 5 or 50. Or 55. Amen. If the Holy Ghost deals with you and you yield to the Holy Ghost. My son asked one time and said, "Daddy, I didn't drink and drug like you, and you had a drastic change in your life. Sometimes I had doubts as a young person. Did I get saved? Did I get born again? I didn't see the evidence outwardly." I said, "Well, the teacher to obey your mom and daddy."
Amen.
You don't have to quit drinking if you're a young person who got saved, but the teacher to obey your mom and daddy.
Amen.
Somebody help me. I could chase that, but I'm going to leave that alone. My point is, so I got to thinking about that. I looked up Matthew Henry. He got saved when he was 11. Jonathan Edwards got saved when he was 8. Spurgeon got saved when he was 12. Here's what Mr. Spurgeon said. "I would have been saved earlier if someone had instructed me a 5-year-old can get saved as well as a 55-year-old. I read about Polycarp. He got saved at 9. It looks like he got it. He was still stepping in the fire at 90. My point is, hey, you can get saved at any age. You know you're lost. Amen and amen. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was on the Sanhedrin Council. That's what I read. He was rich. I read where he's probably one of the 3 richest men in Jerusalem. Notice this. He was respected his position. Here's all I'm trying to say. He had a mental conception of God. Amen. And lived a moral life because of it. But he wasn't born again.
Amen.
How many people are in our church? If 75% of the seed is falling on bad ground. I think Brother Barry said tonight, I mean, really spoke to me. 15 young people in his church that we're praying they'll get saved. And man, if they're not getting saved in the Barry Rackley, I about give up hope on them. Bob, you don't understand what I'm saying. Dear God, if they ever hear preaching under Barry Rackley, my soul. I've heard Barry Rackley preaching, I want to get saved again. Somebody help me. I don't want to really laugh. I want to be serious. Amen. Hey, what I'm saying to you is this refutes everything about what? About being conservative, about being a drunkard, about those kind of things. Hey, this man was none of that. And Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." Amen and amen. In other words, that's in red in your Bible. If you've got a Bible that's got red, that's what Jesus said. Because you know not everybody believes is saved. Could I give you a verse on that? Look at chapter 2, verse 23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew what was in all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." The Bible said those people believed, but he wasn't saved. I believed in Jesus before I got saved. I believe in the death. I believe in the burial. I believe in the resurrection. Hey, but I wasn't saved. I had a mental comprehension, but I didn't have a heart belief of that. You must be born again. That's the recipient. Moral, immoral, good, bad. Amen. Church member, non-church member. You must be born again. I believe Jesus cleansing that temple got Nicodemus' attention. I personally think that's why he went to him. The man went down there with a whip and cleared the temple out. Anybody heard that? I whipped up a few messages in my life. Try to cleanse the temple. You have too if you've preached long enough. You see something going on in the church. He run him out with a whip. You know what? I think I probably preached that here on another message. I ain't got but so many things I can say. But he saw, and I looked and checked this out. The Bible said he saw it, and he went and made a whip.
Right.
He didn't go down there with a whip. He went and they saw it down there, and he went and made a whip. In other words, I'm making a spiritual application. He saw that. He said, I'm not going to charge in there like a bull in a china shop. I'll just go make a whip and hope they clear it up before I get back. Are you listening? I've done that. I've seen things going on in the house of God, Brother Doug, and I've went and whipped up a message. And I said, I hope I don't have to preach this. And you know what? I've seen God take care of it before you have to preach it.
Amen.
Sometimes it's not good to just charge right in there. And then I've seen him not clear it up. I had to charge in there with a whip. I don't mean that wrong.
That's right.
Any preacher wants his church to live right. His church to be, that's what the pulpit's for. Somebody said, why don't you go and talk to them about that? I said, wait a minute now. I can't go talk to every member about their problem. I preach.
Amen.
That's what preaching's for. Preaching is to keep the church right. I can't go talk to that. Well, brother, you know you're doing. And sister, you know you're doing. And brother, you know you're doing. And church, you're doing. And you're doing. No. Hey, sit down in the preaching. That'll clear it up.
Amen.
Then we got an altar for you to come to.
Amen.
Amen and amen. My point is simply this. Not everybody that believes is saved. Could I give you this? Not only the recipients, nor the rejecters. Really, I'm about through written. Well, no, I got a little bit to go. I'm sitting behind Brother Gene. That is not good for me and Brother Gene to sit together in the service. I told Brother Doug and him to sing 10. If I was the pastor, I'd get him to sing 10 more songs. He said, yeah, if you was the pastor, you'd sing 10 more and then preach. Somebody help me. Here's my point. Those that were supposed to be the recipients, amen. Then notice that those were the rejectors. They were the rejectors, amen. Many religious people have not been born again. And we know that. I think the worst enemy of the church is religion. Amen. Y'all may correct me on this. This is what I found. It's probably, I'll just tell you this. In my account of the Gospels, only one Pharisee got saved. Are you listening to me? They tell me this. I've used this quote many times. And I got it from a very, very conservative periodical. But it said out of 100 professions in a church, in 7 years, only 3 will be there. Now, if that's true, that's alarming. Man, I'm telling you, I have preached in our church, and you pastors have preached in your church, and I'm telling you, we've had people walk out of our church and leave us that you never, never, never thought would leave you. Man, I've had them call me up and tell me, meet me at the office. And I'm thinking, that's normally good. But I can tell in the tone of their voice when they say, meet me at the office, this is not going to be a good visit.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, I'm not saying all those people are lost. But I'm saying in 1 John chapter number 4, I believe it is, they went out from us because they were not of us.
Yeah.
And if they had been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us because they were not of us.
Amen.
I didn't write that. Amen. Somebody said John was writing that about Judas. Amen. Judas was a treasure.
Yep.
You don't make a man the treasure. You want an honest man. You would have think they had thought that through. They made Judas the treasure, the man taking care of the money.
Right.
Somebody help me.
Yeah.
And he turned out to be a devil.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Here's my simple point. Here's what the Bible said. I'm going to read you what the Bible said, and honestly, I'm going to get out of the way. The Bible said, any in a straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. It said, many is on the broad way, and few is on the narrow way.
That's
The Bible said in that same chapter, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many shall say to me in that day, what? Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name cast out devils. Thy name made wonderful works. Them I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He didn't say you were saved and lost it. He said, you never knew me. He said, I never knew you. You didn't get saved and get lost. You never were saved. Amen and amen. And by the way, them good things they did, he called them works of iniquity. Amen. Here's my point of reading that. Which is the more? Many or few? Many's on the broad road, few's on the narrow road. Is anybody listening? Amen. You wouldn't think so at a funeral. Now this wouldn't be many. Most of you preachers preach more, and I'm not saying this for any statistical value. I'm just saying I preached over 300 funerals in my ministry. And I'll tell you this, I've heard about everything you can hear. And that down our way, I guess it's up this way too. The latest thing in the last few years to me is this is a celebration of life. I've heard celebration of life so much I'm sick. Well, we've come to the celebration of life. And the man laying in the casket was a drunk. And here we go. And they begin to brag on the man in the casket. And we're just celebrating him. What you celebrating? He quit drinking? Now that was pretty good, right? I don't know where that come from. He finally quit drinking. Glory to God. Glory to God, brother. I don't know where that come from, even. Hey, matter of fact, a boy down our way, we worked with him. Amen. He was some of Mark Lane's family. I mean, this boy rough. Now, some people say they're rough, and some people are. This boy was rough. I mean, tattooed. That don't make it rough, but it impressed me that he was rough. I mean, he was tattooed from one end to the other. I mean, he had tattoos everywhere, and we tried to work with him in prison. He was in prison. He was in jail. He was out of jail, back in jail, back in prison. I mean, we worked, and he finally got it. He come to church a couple of times, and I'd go see him and his shack-up girlfriend, and they had a couple of babies with them, and I was trying to let him know I care, and I tried to show him I care. I said, man, we want you in church. Want you. So anyway, long story short, he come a couple of times, and then he got put back in prison. And then he called his sister up and said, there's a gang fight fixing to take place in the prison. And this was rolled up in the paper in Bishopville. And so they had a gang fight in Bishopville. And seven men got murdered in that gang fight. And they cut his throat, literally cut his throat from hair to hair. He bled to death in the prison. And so they called, and at the funeral, man, they had cops there, a policeman everywhere. I mean, they had federal state people there, county people there. I mean, cruisers and all kind of law enforcement cars. And I had to preach the funeral. I get myself some of the biggest fixes. And so, and then this other so-called preacher, they included him, the family got him to preach. And so he steps up to the rostrum. We have come here today for a celebration of life. And I said, oh God, here we go again. And he begins to tell what a good man this was. He was shacked up with a woman. He had two illegitimate children. He was a drug addict and a drug dealer. Amen. And he's bragging on a celebration. What are we celebrating? You go to a funeral, everybody's saved. Right. Let me tell you, dying don't make you better. Dying don't save you. You ought to live a testimony that when the preacher preaches a funeral, he don't have to look for words. Hardest thing I ever do in the ministry is have to preach a funeral to somebody that wasn't faithful to the house of God. It's like we're supposed to make up something. I never got to preach a man into hell. I don't think that's wise. A preacher out of Columbia years ago told me he did. He said a young boy got killed, and he woke a teenage boy, 18, 19 years old, and he said he went to the funeral. Let me tell the whole story. He said, I told the family, I give you no hope for this boy. I ain't going to do that now. Matter of fact, you ain't going to help the dead. You better preach to the living. And here's what he told me after that. He said, Brother Willis, that's the worst mistake I ever made. He said, my ministry was over in that town. I believe that. Amen. I'm not going to preach a man into hell, but I ought not have to be looking for words for those that say they're saved. You ought to live so godly and ought to be so faithful that your preacher don't have to look for something to say about your salvation. Somebody help me. Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Here's my point. Is many more than few? We know it is. Why all the confusion? Amen. You got to have two births. That's pretty simple, right? You got to be born again. Born one time, you got to be born again. It's got to be two births. It's evident you've had one. If you hadn't had one, we're in a bad shape here tonight. My point simply is this. Did you have a second birth? Amen and amen. You may not know the date. I know the date. December 7th, 1972, 9:15 on a Thursday night. I went in doubt and left with a shout. Pentecostal church. They was running all, honestly, running all over the building, talking language I didn't understand. That's the truth. And I got saved in, right in the middle of that.
Amen.
And I claim I got saved.
Amen.
I was preaching in North Carolina one time in a big Jubilee meeting, and I made that statement. I got saved, the gospel singing. It was two preachers sitting together, a young preacher and an old preacher. And when I said I got saved, the gospel singing, the young preacher slapped his Bible closed and said, "He ain't saved." And the old preacher looked at him and said, "Stupid, open your Bible back up." Thank God for old preachers. I are one. I think sometimes we put, I know this crowd, don't I? I think sometimes we put God in a box and he can't do nothing outside of our movement. God can work outside of our movement. I think this is the best movement going if you want to put it in a movement. I think we got the best thing going. We're Bible believers. But I'm telling you, God, that God can work outside of us. Amen. I didn't get saved in this movement. Amen. You may not know the date, but I'm telling you, something about getting saved, you ought to know something about it. Something about getting born again, you ought to know something about that. You ought to know sometime that happened. Whether it was springtime, wintertime, summertime, you ought to know around something happened that you got born again. How would you know that? There's going to be a change. Man, there is a gospel being preached today that you can get saved and there is no change. I don't believe that. We don't believe that. Amen and amen. Birth creates a change. You might not can explain it, but you can sure experience it. It's better felt than telt. And what will it change? It'll change your appetite. Amen. As a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word. Amen. That don't mean a baby. I'm not necessarily talking about a baby desiring milk, and it is. But even Christians, whether you're 50 years old or 5 months old, you'll desire the word of God.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Your appetite will change. Amen. Hey, you'll go from Budweiser to the Bible.
Amen.
You'll go to romance magazines to Ruth's marriage. You go from the crack, you go to Christ. It'll change your appetite. It'll change your parents. Haven't we said this? That boy walks just like his daddy. You see the boy and his daddy walk together, and the boy walk over, and you say, "Look at that boy, he walks just like his daddy." Or you see him on the other side of the building. "Dear God, I thought that was Brother So. That's his boy. He looks like his boy." It'll change your parents. Amen. Hey, you know when we get saved, it'll change your parents. You start looking like your daddy. You know how he looks? He's holy, holy, holy. Amen and amen. Man, I my heart is broken. I'm telling you. And who am I? I got my own problems. I got a church that's more than I can handle myself. But I am alarmed at what we're seeing in our Baptist churches. It's heartbreaking. Where did holiness ever go? I'm not about talking about us being holy Joes. I'm just talking about a life of holiness. Where did that go? Amen. It'll change your parents. It'll change your appetite. It'll change your associations. You'll hang around with brothers, not blasphemers. You'll hang around with sheep, not goats. Worshipers, not worldly. Eagles, not buzzards. I am through. Some testimonies are so confusing. Here's what we say. When did you get saved? Well, I tell you what, preacher. I've had this happen numbers of times. I got saved when I was 8. But I didn't really get it settled until I was 16. And then after that, I had some doubts. And I didn't really get that settled until I was about 30. That's very confusing. So when did you get saved? Well, I really think I got saved when I was 8, but I really didn't get it settled when I was 30. Man, why you got me confused? I probably told this in another message, the same story. We had a boy in the home. He come to the home. He is 30 years a notorious drug addict. And he come into office one day, and he sat down, and he said, I told him, I said, brother, I'm glad you're here. I hate that you got to be here, you know, in this circle, but I'm glad that you're here because I know you, and you're from Waldorf, and I'm glad you're here. He said, Brother Willis, do you know you preached my high school graduation? I said, no, man, I didn't know I did that now. He said, yeah, you preached my high school graduation. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, well, again, I'm glad you're here. Wish you didn't have to be here. I'm glad you're here. Hope we can be a help to you. And I said, maybe here, business, you can get saved while you're here. He said, saved? He said, I am saved. I said, wait a minute now, brother. 30 years you've been a heroin addict? 30 years a heroin addict? And you're telling me you're saved and all that goes along with that lifestyle? And you're telling me that you're saved? He said, why, yes, Brother Alfred, I'm saved. He said, since I have been here, I've heard you say smoking won't send you to hell. They hooked on nicotine. He said, I'm hooked on meth. I'm hooked on crack. He said, why can they be addicted to nicotine and go to heaven, and I can't be addicted to meth and go to heaven? That's what he said to me. And you know what I said? I said, well, brother, I'll put it this way. If you believe that, then over in 1 Corinthians, know ye not the unrighteous, that are here at the kingdom of God, be not deceived. Neither drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor thieves, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I said, if I believe what you said, fornicators can go to heaven. The effeminate can go to heaven. I said, listen to me, brother. You need to back up off of your profession and get born again. I'm telling you, this happens all the time in the ministry. They come there to get off drugs, and many of them tell you, well, I've been saved. I got saved when I was 8. I got saved when I was 12. And they live a drug addict's life for 30 years. Right. I'm not saying you can't backslide. I'm not saying you can't get away from God. But I'm telling you, 30 years? Right. 30 years of nothing but drugging and pornography and filth and slop and nightclubs and junkdom. Wait a minute, man. The grace of God and the mercy of God won't let you stay in that. Right. Just the fact that, hey, I'm just telling you, I have a hard time accepting that. You know what I said that church Sunday? I said, you know what? When God saved me, he got me out of the junk joints and the nightclubs and the pool room. Why did he get me out and didn't get y'all out? Amen. Matter of fact, I'm a little bit upset. He shouldn't have. Why did I get out? You didn't have to get out. That's what I told him. Didn't I tell him that, Marlene? I was enjoying myself in the nightclub. I was enjoying myself out there doing them things. And God wrecked all of that. Amen. And then he let you do it and made me quit it? I don't believe that. Have you been born again? Has there been a change? I know I'm preaching to the choir. That's why I don't know why I'm preaching this. But I'm telling you, you got to be born again. Amen and amen. That's kind of, you know what? That's kind of like saying, ask man, are you married? Well, I really wanted to get married when I was 14. And I was thinking about it strong when I was 18. But when I was 21, I got married. But we didn't get it settled when I was 30. I'm trying to make you laugh. Go tell your wife that. Yeah, and here's what I come up with. You know how you know you got saved? The same way you know you got married. How's that? Somebody moved in. Glory to God. And by the way, when they moved in, they started giving me orders, telling me things.
Amen.
Somebody help me. What did you tell me to do? Go do it, son. Go. You married now. You ain't going hunting no more. You ain't going fishing no more. Yeah. Hey, oh, God, help me. Amen. I said, there, God, I wish I hadn't got saved nor married. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. Man, I didn't come to make you laugh. I'm telling you, I didn't. We are so confused.
We are.
Amen and amen. You need to get it settled. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Wonder why the Lord would let me preach this in this meeting. I ain't trying to drum up nothing. I'm not trying to drum up nothing. Why would the Lord get me in a meeting like this to preach on a, it must be the most simplest subject in the Bible. Why would the Lord let me preach this? And I'm not trying to drum that up to make anybody doubt. I'll tell you what 1 John said about it. 1 John, I don't time to turn there. 39 times he said you can know. John used the word 39 times. Born of God. He talks about being born of God 7 times in 1 John. He said chapter 2, 29, you'll practice righteousness. Chapter 3, verse 9, you'll deal with sin. Chapter 4, verse 7, you'll have love. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, you'll believe and behave. Chapter 5, verse 4, you'll have victory. Chapter 5, verse 18, you'll deal with your sin. John's writing for you to know that you're saved. You know how I know I'm saved? Because when I got saved, that happened. Are you listening to me? I just simply say to us, hey, you need to get it settled. And I don't know who I'm preaching to. Some don't believe Jesus. Some don't believe he got saved. I read where one fellow said he didn't believe Nicodemus got saved at all. I don't believe he got saved in chapter 3. I believe he was in the darkness of confusion. I got to go back to my mother's womb. I believe he get to chapter number 7, he's in the dawn of conviction. Amen. He wanted to defend Jesus in chapter 7. But when you get to John chapter 19, he's in the daylight of conversion. Matter of fact, he is so converted, he goes down to the tomb to get him out of the tomb. Him and another backslider named Joseph Arimathea, a secret believer. I didn't think there was such a thing, but the Bible said he was a secret believer. Is anybody listening? And them two got down there to the cross, and Jesus on the cross, and he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And both of them got down and said, we got to get him off the cross. If I be lifted up, y'all getting this? And so he says, you get that nail, and I'll get that nail, and we'll get the both. And they had to take the nails out. No doubt he was a bloody pup. They got the blood on him. As beat up as Jesus was, you understand the spirits, they got blood all over them. One got blood to restore him, and one got blood to redeem him. Amen. Anybody listening? Amen. Have you been born again? It's kind of like this. We were all born going in the wrong direction. That's the road to destruction right there. That's the road to heaven right there. We were all born going that way. We were all headed to destruction. And sometimes, I remember when before I got saved, I would try to quit my drinking, quit my smoking, quit all that went along with that. And I try to quit that and quit that and quit that. But I'm going to tell you what, it overcome me. I go right back to where I was. And then one day I got gloriously converted. And I started got on the narrow road. And then I found it on the narrow road. I get pulled back to that old way, pulled back to that old way. But I got greater as he is in me than he's in the world. And though I get pulled back, I just spring right back and keep on that narrow road. You got to remember, you were going to the road to destruction. Did you get converted? I'm not talking about a 360. I'm talking about a 180. Somebody help me. God turned it around. And then he gives you the power to live for God. I didn't know that when I got saved. I didn't know, Brother Clay, when I got saved, that somebody would come to me greater as he to send me, and he's somebody greater than me to give me the power to overcome the world. Amen and amen. Oh, you're born again. I know that's a message for this. I know that's that message for this crowd is, I don't understand it, but the Lord told me to preach it. Are you here tonight and you know you're saved? And I don't never say stuff like this, I don't think. I'll say it tonight. I preach this in a jubilee. The Lord laid on my heart preaching a jubilee. And about a 70-year-old woman got saved. And most of my preaching, lost people, saved people get lost when I preach. But I preached that in a jubilee, and a lady been in the church all her life got saved. I preached that in another meeting, and a preacher's son got saved. And I mean, it was a meeting like this. It was a gathering of Christians. And just one after another. Preached this in a camp meeting. Preached this in Mayfield Creek. Out of Mayfield Creek, I preached this. And I think they had, it wasn't me, it's the Word of God. I'm not saying I did anything. Amen. I'm just simply saying the power of the Word. You don't never know.
That's right.
Do you know you've been born again? Let's stand, let's pray. Father, thank you for the afternoon we've had that I've been here. Thank you to hear about all the meeting and what's transpired. God, thank you for the time to spend together around the Word of God tonight, and the good singing, the groups that sang, the choir that sang. Lord, what a conducive spirit for people to get saved in. And I pray now, Lord, you bless the Word of God to hearts. And I pray, God, there'll be a moving of the Holy Spirit and a dealing with hearts. I know people are tired, but God, I pray you'd overcome that. And Lord, you'd work in the hearts and work in the lives of people tonight. And help that one that's here tonight that's not settled, not sure. And Lord, help them to get it settled. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the pastor's coming.